Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 184, Copper River Salmon with Sina C. Hey everybody, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I am Roger, your host, and this is the podcast that's all about home cooking, getting in the kitchen, learning new things, having fun, learning about the ingredients we cook with. That's what we do here too. And today I'm really excited because one of my favorite events is happening soon as I release this episode in early May 2021, and that is Copper River salmon season. Now, if you're a listener of the show, you know, and I think I've mentioned in the past at least a couple of times, that I absolutely love salmon. It's my favorite fish. It's my favorite seafood, really. I grew up eating it, just a lot of wonderful food memories, old and new, when it comes to salmon. But this is the time of year when there is a very, very special item available in North America, and that is the Copper River salmon. It's only in limited supply, limited availability and time that you can get it in the summertime, but it is the cream of the crop when it comes to salmon. And we're going to talk about Copper River salmon. What is it? What makes it special? How you prepare it? And to do that, I'm welcoming back Rich and Sina Wheeler from Sina C. We did an episode a few months ago on cooking fish, and I thought, well, who better to teach me up about Copper River salmon than the folks that actually catch it and process it? So we're going to get to that in just a moment. A couple quick bits of housekeeping. If you want to get to the show notes for this episode, you can do that by heading over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/184, and that will get you to links and stuff that we mention in the conversation today. That's kitchencounterpodcast.com/184. If you want to send me a note, you can email me to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. You can find me on Twitter at TKCPodcast. You can also, if you're a Facebook person, you could hop over to our private Facebook group, the Kitchen Counter Coffee Break. Easiest way to find that is kitchencounterpodcast.com/group. A note about programming. I know some of you are looking for more live cooking episodes, and I do have more of those on the way, along with some other just regular show topics that center around cooking techniques that home cooks should know and understand. So those are going to be coming out in the next few episodes, along with some other interviews and things like that. So as usual, your typical mix of like the potluck, right? It's the podcast potluck. Just pick and choose what you like. There's going to be a lot of variety coming up in the show. Also, in case you missed it, I just put out an announcement in the show feed, a short mini episode, if you will, about the Kitchen Counter Podcast joining the Nitty Grits Podcast Network. Go back into the show feed to the episode right before this one. I talk about it there, so I won't go into detail now. So yeah, the Kitchen Counter Podcast, now a part of the Nitty Grits Podcast Network. Excited to be a part of that group. The Cliff Notes version here is that for you, if you're listening to the show now, nothing is going to change. You'll find me in all the same places. The show will be as it always was. You won't even notice anything different, probably, except for me mentioning Nitty Grits Podcast Network once in a while and me recommending that you go and listen to the other shows on the Nitty Grits Podcast Network, which you can find over at southernfood.org/nitty-grits-network. So southernfood.org/nitty-grits-network. I'll put the links to that in the show notes as well. Okay, enough of the housekeeping for today. Let's hop into the episode with Rich and Sina Wheeler. They're going to tell me all about Copper River salmon, like from soup to nuts, from the beginning, where the fish are, how they catch them, why they're different, how you can prepare them. It's a really cool conversation. So without further ado, Rich and Sina Wheeler of Sina C. So Rich and Sina, welcome back. It's good to have you back on the show. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Great to be here.
Yeah. So last time we talked, which was a few months ago, I think we were sort of just talking about fish and cooking fish in general. But today we're going to have a very specific conversation about Copper River salmon, because the season is just starting up. So it's a great time to talk about it.
Yeah, we get a lot of questions about Copper River. You know, is it, what makes it so special? Why is it so special? You know, people are curious, and it is a unique and special fish. So we'd love to talk about it.
Yeah. And personally, I mean, I love to see it when it comes out, because I always pick some up at the local fish shop. But it's like, I honestly have not given much deep thought to why is it only available for sometimes just a few weeks, if that. So let's talk about the Copper River in general. Like, where is the Copper River? What is the Copper River? Why is there a salmon that's marketed as Copper River?
Okay, so the Copper River, the head of the Copper River, is way up in the mountains in Alaska. It has a 300-mile mile run, and then it dumps out into the Gulf of Alaska, which is then about 50 miles from the small town of Cordova, tucked in behind Kayak Island in this beautiful, pristine area. And it's about the realest of real fisheries. In my 23 years of commercial fishing, this is the craziest, biggest, gnarliest, real Alaskan fishing that I've ever done.
So what is real Alaskan fishing as opposed to what you might do otherwise?
There's a lot of really small boats. Generally, the average boat size is about 32 feet long, anywhere from 14 feet to 8 feet wide.
And there's usually just one or two guys on the boat. It's small independent fishermen.
Yeah. And generally, probably the majority of the fleet is really one guy. And you could be traveling at speeds from 20 to 35 knots, which is pretty fast, particularly on the water. And in waters of 60 feet to a foot and a half of water. And it will go that quick. Then you're dealing with real ocean conditions, large surf, fishing behind barrier islands. And it's a really, you have to have your wits of you all the time. There's not a time to relax and think that it's going to be the same every single time.
That might actually shed some light on some of the other questions I have, because it's small boats. These aren't like large commercial operations happening on the Copper River. Does that lend to the reason why, I don't know if scarce is the right word, but obviously when it comes in down here in Oregon, for example, into the stores, there's usually not a lot of it. It's not cheap usually, and it's not around for a long time. That's probably a reflection of what you're just describing.
Yeah. So the kind of a misnomer of the Copper River is one, the season. What we have a unique opportunity to do in Cordova is be the first salmon of the season.
And that's just because the Copper River salmon run first. They fish when the salmon are spawning. So the salmon call the shots. It opens when they come.
Yeah, fishing game, there's at the time of abundance or availability to the consumer, first and foremost is sustainability, to the fishery. And they want to make sure that there's enough fish in the river before, we're allowed to go fish and start harvesting, for a commercial take. So really, really important. And sometimes the fish come in huge abundance, and other times they're a little bit slow to show. But at all points, there's my livelihood or the well-being of my family is never put above the fish. It's a really interesting and sometimes controversial way of managing, but it all turns the sustainability of the resources first and foremost.
I think if you think of it like I don't know if this analogy will work, but if you think of it like a bucket, and it's very tightly managed fishery. It's managed for sustainability, so it's managed for future runs. And first they fill the bucket, and that is for future runs. So that's fish escapement or fish going to spawn. And what you see in the stores is only ever what overfills the bucket. So you're only seeing the excess. So the fishermen are allowed to catch kind of what off the top of that, if that makes sense. So when you feel like it's a light year at the store, that's because the escapement has already come, and that's just what's left over on the top. Is that a
okay?
If you see
that makes perfect sense.
The store, it just means there was more abundance, but that bucket always of sustainability that always gets filled first. So sometimes people feel like, oh, you know, and I'm probably jumping ahead here, but sometimes people see it in the store and feel like, oh, I don't want to buy the last wild salmon. And they have a little bit of guilt over it. But really, if it's in the store, that is the abundance left over for sale, or, you know, that the escapement has already, that the sustainability has already been taken care of, and then they let the fishermen fish on the extra.
And so what people really need to understand is we're allowed to fish when we have an opener. Generally, the first opener is 12 hours, and we aren't going to kill a run in a 12-hour period. This is one of the most if everybody stacked their nets along the beach and everything else, we could not stop this fish. This fish is a tenacious fish that will find its way around any blockage or anything like that to make that journey up. And so it's a really challenging fishery.
I guess this is a good point. I've heard a statistic about the size of the Copper River Delta, where the fish are running and coming in. Some people imagine a river with like nets across it, but it's like
70 miles.
Yeah, the size of Rhode Island or something.
Huge.
It's a huge delta. So these fish are coming through. I think people get, you know, in their heads a little bit like you're blocking the river with the nets, but you couldn't even.
Yeah.
Close.
And we don't fish in the river. You know, we're, what we do, and strategically they place us, there's parts of the river or the delta, the mouth that, you know, we're allowed to fish, but we're never fishing in, it's always tidal where we fish. And, which, you know, is what tidal means is, the ocean is still coming into the system. And we're behind a barrier island, and there's markers and everything else that we, you know, so we're not, at no point do I ever fish, in a river.
You're in the ocean.
We're ocean fishing.
This is very interesting because when I think of fishing, commercial fishing, and I'm not a fisherman, obviously, except, you know, going for trout occasionally. I think exactly what you described is not happening, Sina. So it's just so fascinating to hear what actually happens in a place like the Copper River, and knowing that it's the escapement, as you termed it, is what we're seeing in the store is really interesting. So what is a Copper River fish? A salmon. I mean, that's not a species of salmon. So what kind of salmon are in the Copper River?
So it's we fish on sockeye, king, and then later at the end of the season, fall time is coho.
Okay, so when you're getting a Copper River salmon, you could be getting any one of those three.
Yes. Yeah, they're available on the retail side of things, but yes.
But any salmon that returns to the Copper River is called Copper River salmon. So it could be a sockeye king or coho. And that's actually how it's done a lot in Alaska. You might, if you're getting a Bristol Bay salmon, I guess that's just sockeye. Is there Bristol Bay? Yeah. There can be king. So on a lot of the rivers, you might know a lot of times for wild salmon, you might know the river it returns on, and then there's the species. So the confusing thing for consumers is that it's wild, it's Alaskan, it's Copper River, then you get down to the species, sockeye king or coho. So there's a lot of information the good news is it's very transparent. There's a lot of information that is helpful when you're buying wild. You know where it came from. Mm-hmm. So whenever you hear the river of origin, a lot of times that's a clue that it's wild, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have another question then too, and maybe this is a myth that we have to bust, maybe it isn't, but it seems to me one of the notable characteristics of Copper River salmon is the color of its flesh, usually much deeper, richer in color, red. Is that just a myth or is that true in general?
That's true. Yeah, no, it's true.
Absolutely. The Copper River, and this is sockeye mostly. Sockeye typically has the most red color. Mm-hmm. And there's the typical characteristics of sockeye, king, coho. And then when you're talking about Copper River, it's just like they're all bumped up. So on the sockeye is typically very red, but the Copper River sockeye is incredibly red. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And the thing about that red color on the sockeye is it stays red when you cook it. So it doesn't turn to a real pale pink.
So why is it so red?
Because of their diet and then the fat content.
That's the other really special thing about the Copper River is that 300-mile-long river that's very cold and very turbulent. The theory is that these fish, all the Copper River species, they're putting on more fat. So they have a higher omega-3 content. So again, there's these tiers where it goes king, sockeye, coho for fat content. Mm-hmm. But then if it's returning to the Copper River, those are higher than other rivers, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Our Copper River King are high in fat anyway, but Copper River King is the highest. Same with sockeye. Sockeye is high in omega-3s, but the Copper River sockeye is highest.
Then to answer your question on why it's so red, and this would be my speculation. It would be this fish is seeking, more protein, and they're seeking that higher fat food. So they're probably, you could imagine this predator out in the ocean swimming around that, and nobody really knows where these fish go to and where they migrate to and swim around. And they're probably seeking a large krill diet, the high in fat to sustain their long journey.
Yeah. And I think I was going to ask, but I think we already answered it. And you sort of tackled the misnomer about the season. And that is a function of how many salmon are available after the.
Yeah. But there's a couple other things to that, too, which is, we're fishing. So we're the first to come out in May with fresh wild salmon. And then you see other fisheries starting to come on in, late June. And then, of course, Bristol Bay hits. Well, in that time, the Copper River is such a massive system that we are continuing to fish on, all these different runs up that migrate up the Copper River. So we're fishing all the way, to July 25th on a lot of these sockeye runs. King being the earliest salmon that returns to the Copper River. And they oftentimes migrate with the sockeye, and they're the first to kind of shoot up the river system. And so they're the first to leave our dinner plates, and then we're left with the sockeye.
So the Copper River King is discovered. People know they love it. It's valuable. It is coveted. It is fantastic and delicious. And so one reason the season is so short on that is that if you think of all the Copper River King are being eaten fresh, they get caught and they get eaten. And then we have customers, wanting Copper River. So that when they stop running and you sell out, it's gone for the year. We have customers all year round. When do you have Copper River King? When is it? And it comes, it's eaten, and that you can't find it anywhere in the world,
right,
in the winter or even 2 months later. Because it's all been sold and it's all been eaten. Nobody's putting that in the freezer for long-term storage.
Right. I've had that experience too. I mean, I've missed it completely some years where I'm like, what do you mean? It's done already. I didn't even know it started. So,
right. Right. And then the sockeye, like Rich said, we'll fish that concurrently with the king, but the season will go into July. The reason you don't hear about it anymore is because there's other fish available. so that sockeye is a much longer season, and it will get cut like we do. We cut it and we freeze it, vacuum seal it, so that you can have that available most of the year. So that one is more available for sure.
Well, that's a good segue, and I want to talk about some ideas for cooking Copper River salmon. But you mentioned how you are providing the salmon, and I've heard it sounds like you provide Copper River fresh, but you also provide it in the frozen vac seal. Did I hear all that right?
Well, our main way of providing is frozen 6 ounce portions. So we cut it up in Alaska, we wrap in parchment paper, and we freeze, vacuum seal and freeze. So they're really premium quality. And the reason we do that is really to kind of lock in that pure freshness of the, you know, the peak of the season. And that's how we eat it all year round. We eat it in the winter. It really keeps that quality. So that's how we've decided to provide that, that fresh Alaskan quality, is by flash freezing in Alaska. But in the last year or so, we've been offering fresh Copper River sockeye and fresh Copper River king, depending on availability, for the last 2 weeks in May. And that has been a huge success, where it's basically too good, too valuable, too amazing to freeze in May. You're getting the first of the run. People are really excited. And so we're getting that out in our boxes and shipping to people's door, fresh Copper River king and sockeye.
Wow.
And then in June, we'll be freezing it and delivering as usual per the rest of the year. So that's a real, it's kind of an event. Same thing at our farmers markets, where we provide frozen, you know, our frozen portions year round. We show up at the farmers markets when they're open, with a cooler of fresh Copper River king and sockeye that just come down off the opening. And that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. I can
people
imagine.
Are pretty excited about it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll talk in a minute about, we'll mention how they can order from you and everything. But before we get there, I thought everything I'm hearing about Copper River, and even my experience eating it myself, is that this is a special salmon, right? And I mean, high in fat content, you can probably do whatever you want with it. But do you two think there are some preparations, cooking it or whatever, that are better than others? And do you ever have a moment when people tell you how they make their Copper River salmon, and you just shake your head and you go, why did you do that? you know how people are with steaks, right? It's like, what?
No, I just, I love hearing what people do with it. We eat it a lot of different ways. I'm even going to back up. When this fish first hits, the town of Cordova is electrified. All the fishermen are just really excited. There's TV crews and a lot of media hype going on.
I don't want to interrupt, but this is a town with no roads to it.
Yeah.
You can fly in or you can boat in. The town multiplies for the season, and it comes alive for the fishing season. This whole town is about the Copper River fishing season.
Wow, that's very cool.
And then a lot of these guys, well, there's dock parties, and you have boats that are having barbecues, and you know, they keep and we're getting paid a lot of money for this fish on the very first opener. I mean, this is like, if you can land on them, you could, you know, make some money. And so these guys are taking this special fish that they're going to get paid a lot of money for, and they'll keep one or two of them, and they'll share with their friends and family. And it's a real fun time on the docks. And what I really enjoy is the different ways of how people prepare it. And at the end of the day, when I go home at nighttime, I am stuffed full, and I can't wait for the next one.
Okay. Okay. So Rich, you've just got your first Copper River salmon of the season, and you're going to keep it for yourself and your friends.
Yep.
What do you do with it?
So, first handle it really well, ice it down really well. And then when we get back to dock, I'm going to fillet it, properly rinse it off, and then I'm going to cut it up into portions. I like portions myself. And then I personally like what Sina does is sea salt and brown sugar.
Oh,
really simple, equal parts. And I don't completely coat the fish, but, you know, enough to, you can see it on there, and let it stand for about a half hour. And then rinse it all off, pat dry it. And then I take a little, I like a little garlic salt on it myself, and then barbecue.
Okay.
And that's it. Right. Yeah. And then really careful watching this fish not to overcook it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like my fish just a little bit more on the rare side, not raw, but rare.
Well, would it be true to say that the fatty or the salmon, the little, a little more forgiving, right? It could be a little more forgiving in the cook, I'm guessing.
Yeah,
so
exactly. That's a great point. You're going to, the more money you pay for this fish, you should expect a better result in your cooking.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a lot like, buying a fancy steak. Yeah. And I would say, when I hear someone talking about, fresh Copper River, it's pretty much, it's like buying a really good steak where the less you do, the better.
Mm-hmm.
So the only time I would non-verbally cringe is if somebody did too much to it. You know, they did sort of
teriyaki or something.
Yeah, a real sweet teriyaki that was covering the flavor of that bold salmon, where I would do a teriyaki in the winter with coho that's a more mild flavor. So, when you have that fantastic piece of fish, you will kind of want to let those flavors come through and do really as little as possible. I was here. I don't get to be up for the opener because it's a big, big time for getting the fish out to people.
Right.
I'm on the
distribution end. Yeah.
Right. I'm at the farmer's markets and, it's a big push, but we got the fresh Copper River King down last year my dad, who also was fisherman his whole life, I bring home this Copper River King, after a long day at the farmer's market, I've been selling it. Now I finally get to enjoy it. And my dad put it straight on the barbecue. I said, well, let me do a little something. Let me do a little this or a little sauce. Nope. Nope.
So
nothing.
So you could say
straight on the barbecue.
So you could say maybe that Copper River salmon is like the Wagyu beef of the fish world. Or maybe it's better to say that like Wagyu beef is the Copper River salmon of the beef world.
Yeah, we'll take it either way.
And it's really funny that, and I'll share this story with you, that when I'm working the farmers markets, I oftentimes have older gentlemen that like to talk to me about the Copper River and the marketing of the Copper River and how it is just all marketing and whatnot. And I'll acknowledge the conversation and kind of banter with them a little bit, and then they just keep after me like a pit bull. And then I just have to give them the polite, well, obviously you don't understand good fish. and then that kind of shuts them up. They want to, catch their fish out of the Columbia River, which is a wonderful fish, but not the same fish. Mm-hmm. This is a fish that is traveling 300 miles in oftentimes a 10 knot river, a tumultuous glacial fed river that is surviving for its life to make this journey. And
right.
So it's just not the same animal as a fish that we might catch here local or coming out of any other river system. This really is a unique fish, unlike any other fish in the world.
Yeah, that's true. And, sometimes people, they want to say it's marketing, but it's just like, well, try it, then you just taste it. And then the original way that Copper River was marketed back in the 80s was simply by bringing Copper River fish to chefs and saying, try it. And they tried it, and it was huge.
Yeah, they blew them away, probably.
That's all it takes. Yeah, that's all it takes. You just have to try it, and then you go, oh, yeah, this is fantastic.
Yeah, I'm really glad you said that, both of you, because – the food world is, of course, full of these marketing hyped up items that are really no different from their non-marketing hyped up counterparts. I won't name any names, but I can agree with you. I mean, Copper River salmon is special stuff. It is a really good stuff when you get it fresh in the season. And And actually, you know, I have tried your frozen fish. I've tried your frozen salmon, and I can vouch for the incredible quality of it. So I can only imagine what your fresh Copper River stuff must be like. So maybe we should talk about how folks can get a hold of your stuff if they're interested.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. So go check us out online at senasea.com. So senasea.com. And on the website, one thing I like to let people know is we have a free downloadable cookbook. So that recipe Rich talked about with the salt and brown sugar is in the cookbook. So sign up for that, get the free cookbook. Then you'll be on our VIP list of emails. And that's huge around the Copper River opening because the email list is who gets to know first. So I send out emails letting them know what's available exactly when it's available. So in May, it's very, there's a lot going on for us with the opening of this season. So we will send out emails to our list when the fresh is available, when the frozen's available. I will have recommendations. Hey, get enough fresh for your dinner and then stock up on frozen in June. You know, I want to fill people in and give them my best recommendations on what to buy, when to buy, because I know that it can be a little bit overwhelming sometimes, and I want everybody to love it and have a great experience. So get on the list. That's my hot tip.
Okay. That's a good tip.
Yeah. One of the other things that we do, because we control the process all the way through, we're partners in the processing facility where all of the Senasea fish is processed, is we have authenticity tags that go into our fish. So you really know that this is a Copper River sockeye or a Copper River king or a Copper River coho. Mm-hmm. This is real. And this isn't coming from some other region outside of our area.
Oh, absolutely. Authenticity is huge.
Yeah. And behind it. 100%.
Yeah, that's really good to know. Okay, cool. Well, is there anything else we forgot to mention? And I'll put all this information in the show notes too, so people don't have to remember your website. They can just go over there and grab everything. But is there anything we forgot to tell people about Copper River salmon?
I would say, and this is kind of a broad statement, you know, especially with people in the Pacific Northwest, you know, we think of the salmon in the area that we know. So we think of our local salmon. We're from the Pacific Northwest. And you know, when you're thinking of Alaskan salmon, there's a difference, is all I can say. Alaska is still unpopulated. The Copper River is unpopulated, unforested, no mining, and it's kept that way on purpose for these fish. It's a different mindset up there, and it's a different place. How to describe it? It's a special place these fish come from, and it's kept that way for the fish. So it's really, it kind of goes into our why eat wild statement, which is, you know, when you purchase and eat wild salmon, you spend the money, you're giving value to this salmon. And in return, we are keeping this river pristine for this fish. So it's really a beautiful cycle of us humans realizing these salmon they're important. It's an important part of the ecosystem. And when we fish and manage it properly and spend the money to eat the high quality fish, it's all going back into the rivers to keep this a pristine place. So that might have been rambling, but it's not a local salmon that is, you know, returning to, say, a polluted river or something like that. It's really different.
Yeah, that's very nice. And I think that's a good thing for people to hear. And the only other thing I would say to that, you when you mentioned that Alaska salmon is different, if you've never eaten anything but, let's say, farmed salmon or, you know, Atlantic salmon, you know, there's obviously a huge quality jump when you get to like any wild salmon, but then there's even a bigger quality jump when you get to the Alaskan salmon. So, you know, treat yourself. You should really try it. If you like salmon, but you've never really tried it, you should definitely, you know, it's not something you're going to eat every week, right? But the Copper River salmon, but, you know, for a special occasion, or just, you should really embrace it if you like to eat fish and if you like salmon, you like to cook. It's really an experience. So
Absolutely.
Yep. Well, I think that's a good place to put a pin in it this time, guys. So thanks for coming back on the show. And, you know, we'll have to find out what other amazing fish you're catching that isn't salmon, and maybe have you back on sometime to talk about it.
Black cod.
Oh, yeah. We have to talk about black cod.
Okay. We're going to put a note on the black cod, and we're going to do that one of these days.
Yeah. Black cod. Salmon is awesome. But this black cod is, in my opinion, the greatest fish in the ocean right now. This is, it's awesome. And we're doing some really cool stuff with it. We're like some stuff that nobody in the country is doing with this fish. And it's really cool.
That's quite a teaser. Okay. No expectations there. The greatest fish in the ocean. Okay. Yeah. We're going to follow up on that.
Great.
All right, guys. Thank you. All right, folks, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Rich and Sina Wheeler of Sina Sea. I tell you what, I love Copper River salmon, and I've eaten it over the years, but I honestly really never did a deep dive into what Copper River salmon was. I mean, I knew it was limited supply. I knew it was delicious. I knew it looked a little different than salmon you typically find in the markets throughout the spring and the summer. But I learned a ton in this episode. I hope you found some interesting points of information in here as well. Again, kitchencounterpodcast.com/184 to get to the show notes. All right, folks, we're going to call it an episode for today. Thanks again for tuning in and listening. If you've got friends or family who would get something out of the show, please share it with them. Show them where to find it, how to listen to the podcast. That would be great. As a reminder, the Kitchen Counter Podcast is now a member of the Nitty Grits Podcast Network. Excited about that. Lots of stuff happening here at Kitchen Counter Media Central. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for this week at the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Next week, I'll be back. I'm going to be bringing you an episode all about a cooking technique that I think every home cook should master. So until then, I am Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Happy cooking.